Would you find a Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4? You know, whenever I put a message together, it's usually about 45 minutes. Good. Where'd that clap come from? Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading from the New King James Version, starting in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, forbearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this report that Molly has just given to us about the ministry that you have done through these young people and others there in Slovakia. And we recognize, according to the truth of your word, that we have a responsibility of going into all the world proclaiming the gospel. And I'm thankful for these ones who are willing to go out of the comfortableness of the United States of America in order to have the opportunity to share your word, the gospel of truth. Lord, I pray tonight that as we take a look at this passage in this brief time, that you will help us to understand how that there is a spirit of unity among us here, but not only with us here, but with others in so many other places in the world. Just the work that you are doing. And we thank you that we can be partners or laborers together with you in getting your truth out to people who need to know your gospel. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this particular passage, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a really critical matter in the church. Now, not just Gold Country Baptist Church, but the church overall. And that is the subject or the matter of unity. We have a hard time with this. And even though we have enjoyed in our congregation this wonderful spirit of unity for many years, we know that it's not always true out there in the world. You know, there are three in this passage I read, there are three interrelated parts that we as believers need to understand. In the first six verses of the chapter, why he's talking about this unity, and as he says in verse 3, to keep or endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And in these first six verses, he also tells us about seven particular areas that hold people together, or in God's plan, hold people together. As he talks about, there is one body and one Spirit and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is in all. And so he's showing to us that he has established something in the way of unity. When Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He was trying to help us with some understanding that he has established something that is to be united and united in him. And we see in this particular passage, as Paul is trying to get across to the Ephesian Christians, this way of unity. Now, you all know that as we read in the Bible, there are many stories in the Bible that show to us that people didn't get along. And you go back to Abraham. What was his relationship with Lot? He was a nephew. And yet they had a conflict. When you read about the stories of Moses, why, Moses seemed to be in continual conflict with people that were called the mixed multitude, especially people who desired not to listen to and not to go with what Moses was saying, or even how God was leading through the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. You have that story about Joseph. And Joseph and his brothers were having a problem. They were envious of him. There was conflict there in that family until these brothers sold him off and he went off to Egypt as a slave. So you keep seeing all of these tensions that people live with. You even remember in the lives of these disciples of our Lord Jesus, how there was conflict among them at times because some of them were thinking about wanting the first seat or the best place or being number one, or there was conflict among them. And those kind of conflicts are still a part of life. In the book of Romans, while the Apostle Paul was writing to them about there, they were having conflict over what to eat, diets, or particular days that they needed to do particular things in, especially in Romans 14 and 15, where he's dealing with some of those things. The Corinthian church seemed to have a four-way split in it. When some people says, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Jesus, there was conflict among people in the church likewise. And so Paul is trying to help us to understand there needs to be an understanding of unity. What is this unity? How is it that we can have a unity among people who are believers in Christ? In the Galatian church, why he actually talks about people who are wanting to bite and devour one another. Well, that sounds kind of a tough thing to do. In the Philippian church, why we find talks about in chapter 4 of two women that were not getting along together. And there was problems because of that. And in the church today, we recognize there can often be that kind of difficulty and divisions among Christians. What do we divide about today? Well, what kind of music people like and use in church? That's often something of a division. They have conflict over the Bible translations that people should be using in church. We also recognize that there's conflicts in lots of other doctrinal areas like baptism and how often you should serve communion and some of those things that are a part of the teaching of the Word of God. So as Christians, we need to understand something about unity, because many Christians actually don't have a good understanding of this idea of keeping or maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's the unity of the Spirit of God, not uniformity. And some people have the idea that if everybody does everything the same, you know, you've often heard the term cookie cutter Christians. They're all stamped out of the same mold. They all are trying to be alike. Well, that is not the word that Paul is using here. And it's not the word that God has in mind when he's talking about one body and one spirit and all of those ones that are mentioned here in this chapter. You see, unity is something that comes from life. Life on the inside. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. It's that kind of life that brings about unity. It's something that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas uniformity is something that comes from law on the outside of us. Here's the rules. Here's what we all have to do in order to, what they say, be united. But that's only trying to bring about a uniformity among people. You dress the right way. You carry your Bible in the right hand. You know, all of these kind of things that they lay out before us as ways by which we can show that we are the body of Christ. Unity comes from love and compassion. As we read this passage, why you see on a number of occasions where he's talking about love, and we'll look at some of those in a few moments. But love is something that needs to be happening within us. The love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God. Whereas uniformity comes from compulsion. I mean, if we're going to have a church that is uniform here, why the pastor needs to set down the rules. And we all have to do these kind of things that he says we are to do. And he's going to take a lot of it from some of the things the Bible says, but that only develops uniformity and not real unity. And where there is unity, this cement that keeps us all together, not here, not only in our congregation, but in a unity with other people in Slovakia or other places in the world. And that comes from this compassion and this love that we have one for another, that we might show the Spirit of God at work in our life. Notice verse 2 here. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Go down to verse 16, the last verse that I read. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is God's way. And we have stressed the idea in churches that teach the Word of God of loving one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Of course it has to start there so that his love begins to have an effective, be effective in us. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So where there is unity, there will be a love among people, among the brethren, a caring for one another. I mean, one of the things that I have appreciated through the years is how often people share when we give them the opportunity to talk to us and share prayer requests, is their concerns that they have for their friends and their relatives and their neighbors and other of their church people, that they might be a part with them in their healing or in their going forth into other places in the world, in their witnessing, because out of love, we do things with and for one another. Shirley asked us to pray about a vacation Bible school this week. Do you have any love for the community? Do you have any love for the people, the children of our community? I trust you will. Express that love before God as well as before others by praying for and encouraging others to come and be a part of it. Now, Paul's word here, endeavoring or be diligent to keep or preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is a unity that has already been established. You're going to keep it. You're going to preserve it. It's not something we have to build up ourselves or make of ourselves. It has already been established. And we need to be God's people who are really working at preserving it. Because God has already established it. You know, there is a unity among believers because of what Christ has done in their lives. We do love one another. And it's because of that love that we can pray and work with and help one another. Where there is just uniformity, instead of there being this love relationship with one another, there's more the idea we've got to conform. We know what the pastor expects of us, so we got to do that. At least we have to do it on Sunday when he's watching us. And it's just bringing about a conformity to the world's ways. And what does the scripture say? Paul said it in Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And some of the things that Paul is trying to express here in Ephesians have to do with the transforming of our minds so that we can know something of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when people just want to conform, the thing that holds them together is this tradition that they have. There are some churches that they need to have as their motto, as it was in the beginning, so it is now and shall ever be. They're not interested in an outreach and going forth with understanding that God can do something in a different way. And as we see in the Word of God and in this passage, it also shows we've got to appreciate the miracle of unity. And the Word of God here in Ephesians, why, it talks about a lot of that, where rich people and poor people can come together and sit down together and rejoice together and pray together. You can take people who have a culture and people that are barbarian in their nature and attitude. And when Jesus Christ comes into their life, why, they can come together and be unified together. You can take the male and the female and you can bring them together. You know, there are cultures in our world that are so domineering in the male domination of the female that the female does not have opportunity to really express themselves. But in Christ, we can be one together. In this passage, why he talks about the master and the slave being able to be together, the Jew and the Gentiles, all races, all cultures, no matter what their background is, can come together. They can love and enjoy one another. That's a miracle. It's what God has done. And our responsibility is to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In this passage, if you look at verse 1 of chapter 4, he uses the word therefore. Now, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, what should you do? Well, you should see what it's there for. You see, it's there for a reason. And he's trying to tie together the three chapters that precede this that are doctrinal chapters and bringing them now to chapter 4 to see how to make the doctrine work. And so he says, I therefore, and we need to look at the context to what it takes to maintain or preserve unity in the bond of peace. Now, if I was to take time, and my notes would tell me that I should do this, but the clock says don't. So, but if I was to take time with this, well, you can see from verse 1 that in him we have redemption through his blood in Christ. Now, that's a miracle for us. This is the beginning of our unity with Christ and our unity in the body of Christ, because we all have redemption through his blood. He has united us as sinners with he as the Almighty Holy God. It's a miracle that we could be a part of the family of God. In chapter 2, why he's talking about, for he is our peace. And he is bringing together Jew and Gentile, people who had a real animosity for one another. And he's bringing them together. In chapter 3, he talks with Gentiles as fellow heirs with the Jewish people. You would have never thought that that could happen. And yet Christ has performed a miracle. As you look on through the rest of this book, and the therefore has to do, because right in the last part of this, in verse 17, after verse 16, why he says, this I say therefore and testify. So he's going to go on from this to show us some other things of God's people walking together in love, the unity of a husband and a wife, the unity of parents and children, the unity of employers and employees. You see, all of that is a part of the miracle that we're a part of. I heard Warren Wiersbe one time as he was talking about the unity among in a family, and he made the statement of, it's a miracle that a husband and wife can stay together and love together. And some guy out in the audience said, amen. Well, you know, we do understand that it takes the work of God in our hearts and lives. And we're a part of this miracle of God, that we can be united in Christ and loving one another and united to get together because we are believers. Now, there's a couple of other things that I only need about 30 minutes more for here. But he is writing in verse 12, or verse 7 to 12, he's writing about diversity. Now, he's talking about the idea that he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So there's differences here in the body of Christ also. And this unity that we are to maintain has to see the fact that there is diversity among us. Now, one of the things that the Apostle Paul talks about, not only here in Ephesians, but in other places, is the fact that we're a body. Now, we are the body of Christ, that's sure, but he's using this idea of this physical body that we have to help us understand about how the church works, how the body of Christ works. Now, you know that in your body, there's a lot of differences, a lot of different parts, a lot of different things that each part of the body does, and yet it all functioning. And if we're going to be a healthy body, well, we need to function with all of these parts doing their particular thing that they are gifted and God planned for them to do. And as we accept in the body of Christ many who are different from us and still love them and desire to care for them, we can see in the family of believers, we can see this wonderful unity that is at work, even though there's differences. Now, not all of you are going to be the preacher, and you all know that. Some of you are going to only be interested in doing other things that are mediocre and menial, possibly. There's a man that's been working out on our drip system and all the irrigation system. Most of you don't even know him. There was actually a pipe that broke this last Friday night in the nighttime. Somebody found it in about 8 o'clock or something, 8:30, something like that. And water was running all over the place. And I told this man about that. And he has spent this afternoon, coming and repairing, taking care of, and doing a lot of other things too. He's not looking for any praise. He didn't want me to share with you that. And I won't give his name. Some of you may know. But at any rate, it's the way by which we, in our differences, in our different interests, in our different ways, we can share together. And as we do that in love. And you notice what the Word of God, but he says, this is verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To each one of us. Later in a few weeks, I have been asked to teach the doctrine class that meets in Sunday school, and I'm going to be talking about spiritual gifts. This is a part of that truth. Each one of us, we have things that God wants us to do. To do the work of God and never lose track of the idea that we are different. And God has given us gifts so that we can work in the body of Christ, in the family of God. And the only way that we are to have any grace is if it's given to us. We can't earn it. We don't merit it. So if God has given to us a gift, identify it. Use it. You're not looking for credit for yourself. You're using it for the glory of God. And as Paul wrote in the first chapter, it's to the praise of his glory. And if you're doing it just for somebody to notice and pat you on the back, it'll be like Jesus speaking to those Pharisees, and they want to pray out in the public where people say, oh, what religious people they are. And Jesus said, they've got their reward. Is that the reward you want? Just somebody saying, nice job, Dale. No, it needs to be to the praise of his glory, for the glory of God. And this diversity that we have among us reveals something of the wisdom of God, so that he is doing this thing to develop the body in a way by which it can grow and develop and mature. And through the grace given unto us, God is establishing his purpose right here in our community, but basically here on earth. So when he gave some to be apostles and prophets and so forth, and there are other passages that talk about the gracious giving of God that we also need to see, and we'll look at that at some other time, especially in that doctrine class. But there's one other part of this passage, and this will only take 30 minutes too. Paul is showing to us how unity with diversity can function together. This is a problem, and many face this problem in many churches among many believers, but it has to do with maturity. It has to do with growing up. Notice in verse 14 that we should be no longer children. What is the way of a child? It's a way of selfishness, self-centeredness. We know about children, they don't like change. Just try changing the blanket that they sleep with. And what happens? They don't like change. Children are that way. They don't want anything different from what it is that they want. They're children. They're selfish. They're self-centered. They want what they want when they want it. You know, there are some churches that have a children's ministry totally throughout their whole church, including the children's ministry they have for 70 and 80-year-olds. Because people have never grown up. They haven't become mature. They're still critical and complaining and talking about people that are different from what they are. They're not working at maintaining, preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And unity without diversity is uniformity. Diversity without unity can be anarchy. But when you have unity with the diversity, it has to do with the fact that the people have grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they are no longer children. Their interest is in others, not just in themselves. And you all know that the body, this physical body, it matures from within us. It matures because of our nutrition that we get, because of the exercise that we get. It doesn't mature from somebody pushing us on the outside. It matures from within. And as a Christian grows up, we need to grow up from within to mature, because we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God has given to us gifted people that he has gifted by his grace to be a part of helping us all grow in teaching the truth of the Word of God, that we might, as it says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, speaking the truth in love, the edifying of itself in love. Here we're back to this subject again. What is it that brings about the maintaining of the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? Is people that love one another. And this is the love that Paul began the chapter with when he said in verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. You all know what love looks like? So that there can be unity in the body, even with all our diversity. He gives us that in verse 2. With all lowliness, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Lowliness. Not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, as Romans chapter 12 says. Lowliness. That's not a normal thing for us. It's going to take some growth on our part if we're going to get to the place where we are able to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and in the sight of one another. Are you too proud to stoop over and pick up a piece of paper that has fallen on the floor and needs to be thrown in a wastebasket? Would you humble yourself to do that? Humbleness, it takes a mindset, not just thinking of ourselves. I'm in a hurry. I'm busy. Somebody else will do that. He also talks about gentleness, being gentle with one another, thinking in terms of how will this affect them for good, for God, for His glory, so that we are gentle, speaking the truth with love. And then he talks about with long suffering, the idea we got to put up with one another. Hey, I got my idiosyncrasies and I got my problems. Hey, thank God you put up with me. But we put up with one another. We don't always understand what they're going through and how they got to where they are. But there's a long suffering. And certainly our God is long suffering. He's putting up with a lot, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, unity, important subject. The church needs it. We have our diversity. We're all made different. We've been given different gifts. And the way by which we can make it all work together is as we keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your truth. And I pray that we as your people will show to the world around us that we're not being conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we begin to think as you think. That we will be a people, as Paul said to the Philippians, that we'll have the mind of Christ. And even though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took on himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Lord, we know your promise to ultimately give blessing and pleasure and lifting us up, but that's not why we do it. We do it because we want to preserve or maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the body of believers. Thanks for this truth. Help us to go forth and apply it in our lives, to watch the things that we say and the things that we do, that we might encourage and uplift and edify one another. And this I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thanks for your patience. It's only 12, 13 minutes after 7 now. God bless you.